Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. My name is Brooklyn and I'm here with my friend Sawyer. Thank you for coming.
Of course, it's so exciting.
We are continuing our talk this season about emotions and the heart. And today specifically, we are talking about connection, which I'm really excited to hear from Sawyer about. So Sawyer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Sawyer. Go to New Life, and we have for quite a while. And I'm married. We have three kids. And I work at the Women's Resource Center, which is a local nonprofit in town. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that I invited you on for this specific episode was because of your work. So kind of explain what the Resource Center is, what kind of things you guys do.
Yeah. So we are a medical nonprofit and we specialize in unplanned pregnancies. So if someone is having an unplanned pregnancy, which happens in our community, we have people, a woman comes in and we have advocates and nurses that meet with them. And so they get to hear about their pregnancy options. It's a safe place and they get a free pregnancy test and a free ultrasound and they get to see their baby up on the big screen so they can make that connection with their child. And when you're in that crisis mode, it's really important to be able to slow down and process through everything. And so we're able to do that with them. And then if they choose life and choose to parent, we get to walk alongside them. And so we offer parenting classes and really able to help equip them to become the best parents that they can be.
Yeah. You guys have like diapers and what is it? Like the little shop area.
So we have a baby boutique.
Thank you.
So they get to get diapers, wipes, all clothes, everything they need. And so material assistance is never a reason that they aren't able to.
It's a lot of support.
Yeah.
So what's an advocate do? You said there's advocates and nurses. So what's
that? Yeah. So the advocates are more on the parenting side. So they're the ones that are supporting, walking through the pregnancy with them. We have father advocates as well, fatherhood coaches.
That is so cool.
So we meet with the men as well because it's just important that they need support. Nurses do the medical side and then advocates and coaches are kind of more on the educational support side.
Yeah. So, okay. So then also, I also know your testimony, which is so special that you're in this position that you're in running the Women's Resource Center. So you told me you share it all the time, but I want you to share it again. You can do the short or long version. It doesn't really matter.
Yes, I do feel like at this point, everybody knows my story. So I'm like, you guys don't want to hear
it. I love it. Yes, we
do. So working at the Women's Resource Center is very close to my heart because I went through an unplanned pregnancy. And so when I was 16 in high school, I found out that I was pregnant and it was a shock, definitely not anything that I was planning for my life. And I truly felt like my life was over to the point of I wanted to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. I did not want my future of what I had planned for my future to be ruined. I really felt like I was letting my parents down, letting myself down. And so just really felt like abortion was the easy fix. God intervened in my life and through some different things, I actually decided to choose life instead. And so this was before I had a relationship with Christ. And so I think it's just a miracle, honestly. And so I had people that were pressuring me to have an abortion. And so even after I chose to parent, I had a lot of pressure just in friends and family. And so it really became a hard thing to choose life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't go to the a pregnancy clinic at the time. And so looking back, having that kind of support that they offer would have been huge. Yeah. But decided to parent. My boyfriend at the time was involved as, you know, a high school boyfriend can be. And so we had a baby when I was 17, summer before my senior year. And my life was changed forever. And so my boyfriend at the time was a believer and actually was attending this church. And when I was pregnant, I was he invited me to go to youth group with him. And I remember thinking, like, that is absolutely the last place I want to be. Like, I have a big pregnant belly. Like, it is, I'm clearly pregnant. Like, don't want to be judged, all the things. And so ended up going. And through that, I got saved and gave my life to Christ. When I was pregnant. And so I really truly believe that God can turn beautiful, beautiful things when we surrender to Him. And so what I thought my life was, He has just shown me over and over again that He will bless it if we allow Him to. And so I like to say that Rylan, who is our daughter that we have now.
And you're now married.
And we're now married. Yeah. So Rylan, I think, saved my life. You know, I don't know if I would be a Christian today if I hadn't walked through what I walked through. And so Rylan helped save my life. And we got married after high school. And so that's not always how it happens, but what a huge blessing to be able to raise Rylan and now our other two kids in a home, stable environment with Rylan's dad, Zach, who a lot of people know around here. Yeah. So that's just like the very short version of the story.
Okay. So you had probably a lot of fear and a lot of emotions, I'm sure, when you found out, when other people were pressuring you to abort the baby, even when probably you got saved. There's just emotions everywhere.
So many.
But what I love is that you can totally empathize with women that and dads even that come to your clinic and are feeling all the feelings.
Yeah. You know, I think empathy is so great because we can have empathy for people that, like, even if we've never gone through that, experienced it, like, and we can commit to that and show love through that. But there is just something so special to be able to sit across from someone and be like, I've been there. I get it. Like, there's just another layer to that. And you can just see people that are like, you do, you get it.
You're like, not judging me.
Right. Yeah. Like, you truly understand what I'm going through. And so that has just been such a blessing for me to be able to work somewhere. You know, I get paid to get to have these conversations, which is just such a God blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. So in these conversations, do you find that people are feeling like it's like a safe place, or is it hard for them to open up? Both?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the person. I see both. I think a lot of times they'll come in and they're pretty hardened, right? Like, they're prepared. They're like, I just need to get through this. I'm just here to, like, confirm that I'm pregnant. I don't really want to talk about my emotions.
Well, and it could be like a fight or flight thing.
Yeah.
So I also had an unplanned pregnancy with my oldest daughter, Quinn. And I remember just being like, okay, what do I do?
Like, right. Like, you're in crisis. Uh-huh. And I like, you know, in this book by Jenny Allen, it was talking about how even just like sharing and talking helps us take us out of that flight or fight.
Yeah.
And like, that's just amazing that our creator made that. And so if we can get them talking about, you know, what are your concerns? What are your fears? And we have specific questions that, you know, are tailored to that, to be able to get them to calm down, think through it, and really think about, like, well, what are my emotions, right? Like, a lot of times it's hard to even just name what we're feeling. We're just like feeling out of control.
Yeah, you just don't even know, or like pause long enough to notice that.
Right.
Which is what Jenny says in her book is one of the steps is noticing your emotions. So you guys have questions tailored to help them with that.
Yeah. We you know, and kind of walk through the different things of how are you feeling emotionally, spiritually, physically, like all these things, and walking through that to be able to, like, okay, here's the overall sense of how we're doing. And so, yeah, I think even if they come in kind of hardened by the end of it, they are definitely feeling like they get it here. This is a safe place. It's judgment free, and are able to share a little bit more that way.
Yeah. So you help them. Yeah, slow down, evaluate, like, okay, what is going on in my head? I don't need to make a rash decision right this second, which is what you feel like you right. need to do in a crisis.
Right.
Like, what's my next step?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then you guys empathize with them, like you said, and your advocates, and I'm sure your nursing staff.
Yes.
There,
oh, yes. Yes.
Is so empathetic and can just connect with them.
Right. And that's, you know, we would hope that that kind of care is everywhere, but that's just not the case. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so it is really special to be able to go somewhere and it, yes, we are a medical clinic, but it's also that we have that emotional, spiritual side
yeah.
That we can have holistic care that way.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to back up. So you, I actually didn't know, I don't think, maybe I did, that you were not a Christian when you originally were pregnant. I didn't know that through Zach, through youth group, all of that. That's
yes.
how you're saved. That's so cool. So do you feel like, have you always been able to notice at your emotions? Like, are you somebody that's like, I'm very aware of what I'm feeling? Or are you someone that's like, I don't?
Yeah, not as much. I think like I am an emotional person, right? Like I am the person that like forever, even when I was younger, like cried during like commercials or movies or whatever. Like I'm I'm a crier. but I wouldn't say that I like going through like different types of emotions that I would be able to like name it and say that and do that. And so I think going through an unplanned pregnancy in a very public setting, like I was in high school, and that, you know, secrets don't stay long in high school. And so I felt, I think it really pushed me that I had to deal with it. And I learned how to be authentic because I just didn't have another way. Like everybody knew, there was no hiding it.
Yeah.
And so I really just had to process it
openly.
And so I think now, like I just really have a desire ever since then to just be authentic. Right. So I'd say one of my biggest emotions during my unplanned pregnancy was shame. Yeah. As a lot of teenagers, like you care a lot about what other people think.
Yeah.
Even as an adult. And so I just felt so much shame because I let myself down. I let my parents down. I made a choice that was very like people were seeing. It wasn't something that I could hide. And I felt like people were judging me. And so there's just so much shame. If I could pick one emotion,
and
like that was probably
that,
it.
You were like a perfection. I mean, you still were.
I was really good kid, honor society. Like, like
that was not supposed to happen.
It was not supposed to happen. And so it was just like this huge flip and really just probably a lot of people felt like it was out of character and what was going on. And so I just really internalized all of that into shame. And so now since I had to walk through all of that publicly with, you know, teenagers, adults, family members, all this, I really have a desire to just be authentic now. And so I think, you know, even today, I still tend to kind of be a stuffer a little bit. Yeah. But I really can see the benefit of being more authentic. And, you know, it's not as scary as we might think, because guess what? Like if my 16-year-old me can get through it, like adult me can get through it too.
Well, and you see people every day having no choice but to be vulnerable.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's happening. Whether. Yeah. They want it to or not.
Right. So it gets a little bit easier to sit in that vulnerability and it's scary sharing and it's scary being authentic. But the more you do it, you get used to it or you find your people. It's not as scary.
I think I had to literally learn how to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
I don't think it's natural. I don't know if it's natural for some people. It's not for me.
I don't know. You know, I think there's just a lot of things that go into it. I think personality, just some people tend to be more vulnerable than others.
And like, enjoy sharing,
right? Like introvert, extrovert, whatever. And then a lot of it is probably how you were brought up.
Yeah.
You know, were you shamed for having emotions as you were a kid? Were you in a household that you were talked a lot about emotions? Yeah. Like that was not us. We never talked about emotions, right? And so yeah, I think there's just a lot of different factors that go into being vulnerable and if it's something that comes naturally to you or not.
I was also thinking that, and I don't know if you agree with this, and it's fine if you don't, but in our culture, I feel like it's weird to, or like seen as weird to share like actual true feelings. Like if somebody came up to you and you're like, how are you? I automatically am like, good. How are you?
Fine. Uh-huh. Right.
So like, wouldn't it be weird if you were like, actually I am in it would be seen as weird. I'm in such a hard space right now.
Right.
I'm really struggling.
Right. I see someone at the grocery store and they would be like, I don't know how to respond to that because I was expecting you to smile and say that everything's good.
Right. Yeah. So why do you think that it is hard in our culture to be vulnerable?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we just very much in America just have this like pull them up by the bootstraps idea, and that maybe being vulnerable is being seen as weak, which is not the truth. And so we also just kind of live in this time where everything is compared, right? And so we have like the Facebook and Instagram and whatever, and everything's perfect. And so how can I like post these pictures that everything's perfect, and then actually like I can't tell you that my life is falling apart.
Right.
Because then it's not going to match up. And so it's just very hard to be authentic and vulnerable.
Yeah. Even in the church setting, like, and I don't think that was God's intention, obviously, but even on Sundays, it's so easy to say, how are you? Good. How are you?
Yes.
Like so automatic.
Yes.
So when you did become a Christian, gave your life to Christ, was it easy for you to be vulnerable with him feeling so much shame? Or do you feel like you were able to release that?
Yeah, I think honestly, that's what brought me to him. I think the part that spoke so much to me and probably still today was God's grace. And I was at a point where I was just like, I screwed up too much. Like there's no going back. I've gone too far. And so just of God's grace and his love, that overcomes all. Like that really spoke to me. And so like, that's what drew me to him. And so I think it was a lot easier to be vulnerable, and authentic with God when I could see, you know, his promises and what he had to offer compared to maybe what I was seeing in the world, right? Like it wasn't matching up. I remember that, like people are going to fail you. Right. But God's not. And so I really think, just his grace and love just really drew me to him. And so I was able to kind of overcome that shame part.
That is beautiful.
Oh.
So has that continued throughout your relationship with him, you think?
Yes.
Like you've been able to be vulnerable with God because you came to him at maybe one of your lowest points.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone has a different, you know, perspective. And I, you know, not growing up in church and coming to him later and with a background, like all these things, I really lean into that. And so I remember even reading some stuff sometimes, like maybe like doubt or being angry with God or frustrated. And I was just like, well, yeah, God can handle that. Like, why wouldn't he? And when I have other friends that are just like, oh no, I could never bring that to God, you know? And so I think, God really just met me in the mess. And so I'm like, oh yeah, he can take care of it. Like it's totally fine. And so just remembering that nothing is too much for him and he can take all our emotions. Like he created us to have emotions. And so being able to connect with him. And I think just always the promise of like, I think I remind myself a lot, like people will fail us. And so when I kind of get stuck in that feeling, taking that to him, taking that to Jesus, who will never fail us.
So you are like naturally so good at letting your emotions draw you back to God, because that's kind of what led you there in the first place, is you were like, you felt hopeless and he had hope. And shame, and he had grace, and that's exactly why he created emotion. So that's really cool to hear that your testimony is a testimony.
I saw him through that, so I definitely
and think now that. You get to help others see that as well.
Yeah,
I love that. Okay, so I have a verse here. It's okay. James 5, 13 through 16. And it says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call over, or you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So we're supposed to let our emotions lead us back to God first and foremost. So we have to notice them, and then we need to like name them and let them lead us back to Him to fill in the gap of whatever it is we need to be our comforter, rescuer, redeemer, whatever. But He also created us to have connection with others. Mm-hmm. So in your work and throughout your testimony, I'm sure you've seen that as well. Was your youth like, I mean, was there somebody, I guess, like, was there somebody in your story that you're like, yes, I felt seen and not judged? Or was it mainly you and God?
I mean, it took a little bit to get to that. Yeah. Right. And so I think there was definitely people planting seeds. I know I had a friend that was a Christian, in high school, and she was so, so sweet and had a part in that. And I would say our youth pastor at the time, Charlie Carpenter, like really, him and his wife, really just poured into me, which was huge. And so, yeah, I think God uses people, to show that connection part and how to just show His love through them and how important that is, for our emotional health.
Right. And that's why it says like to confess to each other. If you're happy, sing. If you're sick, tell somebody.
Right.
Which
right.
is so hard sometimes.
It is. And, you know, I think it's hard for a reason. So the enemy, our enemy wants us to be isolated. Mm-hmm. Our enemy wants us to not be sharing and wants us to keep our emotions to ourselves. So then we can turn those emotions into a spiral thought process that's just going to not get us anywhere and not be taking it to God. And so, like, it is literally fighting against the enemy to share. Like, that's why vulnerability is so hard and confessing is so hard, because it truly brings healing when we do that. And so I should have wrote it down and I didn't. But Brené Brown has something that goes along with that. And it's talking about how shame like thrives in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. Like, our emotions thrive when we're isolated. And that's when the enemy is going to attack that. Right. And so we want them to, if we can confess and talk about it, get us out of that fight or flight. And it really brings healing when we're able to connect with other people through our emotions.
And you see, because we know there's like one side where, yeah, we don't share anything. And then we see the other side where, oh, our emotions are the truth and in my life. And that's what's I'm leading me.
Right.
But when you share, it really does kind of even out. Like,
right. We don't want to be controlled by our emotions. Either way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want it to be drowning us, and we don't want to be making these rash decisions based on our emotions. Right. And so taking the time to process,
bringing it to the light takes the spiral out of it.
Yes.
I've noticed that for myself, especially with shame, which is one of the main ones that I feel, which everyone is different.
Yep.
But when I speak out, like, for example, there was a time that I pulled Quinn's elbow out of her socket. Oh. And yeah, it was like devastating to me.
Traumatizing.
Yeah. And it was just her and I, because my husband was working away and she was two, I think. Mm. And I came to church the next morning and I literally, Sawyer, it sounds silly now to like look back, but I felt like the worst mom. Mm. Like there was definitely a spiritual attack and just all these thoughts coming into my head. Like, you just are the worst and you hurt your daughter and you shouldn't even be her mom. Like, just crazy lies. But it felt so real.
Yes.
And I remember our women's pastor at the time, Pastor Karen, came over and she's like, how are you? And this was one of the times I wasn't like good.
Didn't say good.
I just started bawling and I was like, I pulled Quinn's elbow out. And she's like, oh, it's okay. Like, I did that. Sorry. Right. I had hers out like three times. But it was so nice to... It was like, it was really weird because, and I've seen this happen so many times, but as soon as I said it out loud, and like I'm saying it now, it sounds so silly.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like that when it's in the dark.
It's in the dark and you're just spiraling and you are believing that to be like truth. And to have someone on the outside like come against that and be like, no.
Yeah.
Like that emotion, like you're feeling that emotion. Like I hear you. I know you're feeling
it's
that emotion.
The truth, though.
But that is not truth. Yeah.
And so speaking it out, I think that's why we're called to confess to one another or to say when we're sick, which you know too. I've had a hard time even saying when I don't feel well, when I have like chronic things. But God has really shown me that speaking it out and connecting with someone and allowing them to be empathetic to you is very healing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you've worked at the center, how have you seen like holding space for others' emotions? Because I think it can be hard too. Like, I don't know how I'd react. I would hope good now that I've learned. But like if somebody just came up to me and started bawling that I maybe wasn't very close with, I would hope that I could hold space for that and not be like, oh my gosh, you're freaking me out with your emotions.
No, I really feel like probably by this time, like I've seen it all, right? Yeah. Like we have people that are super sad. There's lots of tears at the center. Yeah. Like, so it's a safe place. Sometimes it's my tears. Like, that's okay. all the way to anger. And it comes out like against us and just being mean to us. And excuse me, we just know that it's because they're in that crisis and they're working through those emotions. And so, just allowing that safe place and be like, come as you are. Like we will meet you right where you're at. You don't have to feel a certain way to walk in here. And we will work through it with you.
Yeah. And we're called to bear each other's burdens.
Yes. I love that.
I was focused on the part after that this morning that Paul says, and I don't even think I wrote it down word for word. So paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But he says, like, if you think you're too important to help somebody else, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
You're not that important.
Right.
Like, I love that line.
Take yourself down a notch. Right. Like, let me just tell you, you're down here. Okay.
We all have problems.
Yes.
We all have hardships. We all sin. Yeah. None of us is perfect except for Jesus.
Yeah. And it can be hard. Like, we all of us kind of slip into that judgment part. And, maybe it's because someone's going through something that we've never had to walk through or whatever it might be. And so I think that's great. Like having those two side by side, like that's just perfect. Like bear one another's burdens. Like, and it's not a suggestion, like it's a commandment.
Yeah.
So do it because it's a commandment, because I know it will bring healing. Mm-hmm. And that's God's heart for us. And then, oh, by the way, if you're not willing to bear each other's burdens, like,
you're fooling yourself. You are not that important.
You're not that important.
I just read it in such like an attitude.
Right. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah. Like, all right.
Okay.
So true. Humble.
Yeah.
So I said this last week, but I want to say it again. Mm-hmm. Jenny Allen says, you don't have to tell everyone, but you have to tell someone. Can you speak to that a little?
Yeah. So I've said it multiple times, like people are going to let you down. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that to like have this, like to know no one's perfect. Like you're not going to find like the perfect person that's always going to handle it perfectly. However, like find your safe people. Mm-hmm. And so like at the center, like this is a safe place. We're committed to being judgment free and walking through that with them. For us, like who are those safe people for you? Who is committed to listening with compassion? Who is going to listen and not automatically just want to fix it?
Yeah.
Who is going to commit to not leaving and rejecting us after we share hard things with them? And so whether that's a life group, like it could be a group, it could be one or two close people. It's different for everyone, but it's not something where I'm like putting out on Facebook and Instagram all my hard stuff, right? Like it's important to find your people, Jenny Allen book, right? Like find those people that are committed to walking through this with you.
Yeah. And like you said a few times, like people will let you down, but then we also say people will bring healing.
Yes.
So also having the grace, like, okay, these people, even when you find your people, are not going to get it right every single time.
Right.
but God will.
And that's just it. Like, and taking that next step. And that's just it. Like, we will be let down, but if we can just first start with our people and then be able to take that to God, like, that's just huge. Mm-hmm. And that's where that healing happens.
Yeah. And if you've been burned in the past, which I think probably mm-hmm. all of us have.
Yeah.
And some of it's irreparable. Like, some of it is you're no longer in relationship with that person anymore.
Right. Boundaries are okay. Like, we're not saying share your emotions with everyone. Like, that's not what we're saying at all. Boundaries are okay. And I think the Holy Spirit gives you discernment about who those people are and what boundaries are needed and what you can share where. But getting to that place where you can be authentic and vulnerable with people.
And praying, I think asking God for those people. Yeah. Because he definitely will send.
Yeah, he wants us to be in community, you know, and he created us to heal through community. And the enemy knows that. And so he wants to keep us isolated. And so if anything, like, you are fighting spiritual warfare when you are actively being in community. And so that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I feel like we've really wrapped up what I really wanted for people to hear from you. So do you have anything else you want to add?
Oh, I don't know. Let me just.
Yeah, you're good.
I think we covered most all of it. But yeah, I think just remembering that nothing's too messy for God.
Yes.
Jesus meets us where we're at. Mm-hmm. And just letting, you know, taking our big emotions to those that God has put in front of us, and then also just ultimately to him so that we can be healed.
Amen. Thank you, Sawyer.
Yes, thank you.